Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. A lot of things happening in the world today. I'm going to try to go through a few of these here on the with the briefing, but there's one I want to really talk about. And it's important, you know, I always say it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And my thought that I want to leave you today is that sometimes when we abide in Christ, Christ is abiding in us, we have to call out. We have to call out the truth and call people out for their actions. And you know, none of us is perfect, right? And so when the media, you know, tries to hit back and say, oh, you know, Representative Shea had a false quote in a bill and then had an endorsement issue on his webpage and stuff like that. Understand the context of what's happening, okay? When I was notified of these things, immediate corrections happened. Okay, now I want to contrast that with the Inslander today, where Mike Volz was absent for a vote, and I talked about this on the show here about a year ago. Absent for a vote. Okay, he's not present, and the Inslander misread the vote to make it look like Mike Volz had voted to protect pedophiles, okay? Now, they were called on that, and instead of retracting immediately from their print edition, they went ahead and put it out in their print edition. And then, of course, the retraction is tiny and back and out of the way, and nobody's really paying attention to it. And that's the way the media works. It's very important to understand, and that's why the slander and implication and innuendo, that's why so many Americans are sick of it. They're just absolutely sick of it because the media does this garbage, and then they try to make it look like somebody else has a problem. Now, fact of the matter is, we just migrated here, I think about 2-3 months ago, we migrated the website over to a new platform for me. I tried to go through it and update it as best possible. We're going to miss stuff. And as soon as somebody alerted us to it, we correct it. That's honest. Honest correction. That is honest dealing. What is not honest dealing is when the Inslander goes ahead and sends out a print edition smearing a legislator and not correcting it when they could, when they had time to do it, and they could have. Or like the Socialist Review with these endorsements, never truly correcting it, just putting out a new article that says, oh, this is the, well, why didn't you go back and correct it? Or better yet, why didn't you ask when you're in the business of publishing newspapers, it's your job, according to your own standards that are published, to ask and fact check, and it would have been a simple phone call or email to say, hey, is that Representative Shea's endorsement? But they didn't do that. Then you have people in the media who are intentionally trying to smear our president constantly, talking about Russian collusion, not talking about the Chinese mole in Dianne Feinstein's office and some of the new information that's come out on that. Some people said the other day, oh, it's an old story. Well, yeah, it's an old story. It's still not being talked about. And oh, by the way, there's new information on it. Or how about the fact of Uranium One and Hillary's deal? Or the fact that classified information was leaked? Or the fact that here locally, the attempt to smear people at the national level is now being done at the local level. Why aren't we talking about that? And that's where I'm coming from with a lot of this. Now, the Spokesman Review lied outright in its article. Again, okay? And they said, quote, they searched. Here, I'll just paraphrase it because it's easier to do that instead of read the whole thing. They searched and couldn't find any request for retraction. May 11th, 2018, 10:35 a.m. Sent to voice@spokesmanreview.com. To the editor of the Spokesman Review, Rob Curley. Quote, the campaign office of Matt Shea would like to request that an incorrect statement be retracted from a recent piece written by James Gordon Perkins, which stated that Representative Shea has endorsed Jared Bonet. Representative Shea has not endorsed Jared Bonet. We would also like to take this opportunity to encourage you to submit your articles or opinion pieces to our office for review on these facts that we're talking about prior to publishing. It would have been simple to ask us. So the Spokesman Review lied directly in its article when it says we never sent a retraction. Absolutely straight up lied. So this is, again, the social justice warrior rules here, okay? They lied, then they doubled down on the lie, and then they try to project onto you how they actually are themselves. And in my speech the other day, and I read that on Tuesday, they even took that out of context. And that's why everybody is so upset at the media. And here's the solution. Everybody listen up, okay? You are the media. The idea of a printing press, which was uncommon back in the day of the foundings and could easily be shut down physically, and not only shut down the printing of a newspaper or pamphlets, but also people's access to print those pamphlets. Today, we have printers in our homes, most of us, with computers and access to the internet. Okay? We are the media. We're going to have to be. As censorship continues, and we're talking about that a little bit in the briefing, but as censorship continues, it is going to be increasingly incumbent upon all of us to be the media and share this information with our friends and family. In fact, if the internet, if they continue to attack the internet, we might actually be going back to pamphlets. I don't know. And that's why your home printer is going to be important. So when we expose the left and they do these kind of things, okay, blatantly, I mean, outright, straight up lied about it. Not a mistake, okay? We need to hold them accountable. And it's hard for us, I think, as Christians to hold people accountable because it requires confrontation. And standing up for our republic and the ability to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unhindered and make disciples and show tangible love to our neighbor is what we are doing when we're confronting, especially the media. Because if the media continues down its agenda-driven track unabated, the censorship of Alex Jones will have been tame compared to what's coming. Now, some people say, well, that's fear. No, it's not. That's reality. That's history. That's an objective evaluation if we stay on the sidelines. What comes next? Christian advertisements? In some places, that's already happening. And if not outright, certainly by implication. Just look at the case of the Colorado baker. They're going after him again. And then what if it's not Christians? What if it's Jewish people? What if, and oh, by the way, PJ Owls has been at the very center of the boycott, divest, sanctions movement, an anti-Israel movement. What about just being a conservative in your workplace? I have already talked to dozens and dozens of people who have faced overt discrimination in the workplace because of their conservative views. We can't stay on the sideline anymore. If we want to keep America what it has always been intended to be, and that is a beacon, salt, of the example and message of Jesus Christ, we've got to stand up. And we need to be truthful about what is actually happening and where we're at in this country. Folks, I have never seen it so divided. People attacking, I'm receiving, you know, I'm getting death threats again, you know, and the, you know, this stuff is par for the course in politics now. And it, and for us that believe in Jesus Christ, you know, we're undeterred, but understand the level of division that is in the country right now. And the only way that changes is through allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us in standing up and saying no and drawing that line. And you'll notice, too, that the attacks, like by the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, weren't started by the right. They were started by these guys. It wasn't started by conservatives. It was started by these guys. And then the changing of definition and words. So this is going to be something that all of us have a duty to do. To educate, to share information, and become the media. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front from Venezuela. 1,000,000% inflation. Remove the zeros. That's a solution. Heh. Okay, but in more interesting, I'm going to post this up on Patriot's Facebook page. Business Insider has Venezuela's inflation in pictures, stacks of money next to several tomatoes, chicken, etc. It's just amazing. 2.5 million bolivars for a bag of rice, 8 million bolivars for a package of diapers. Just it really shows you what happens when money dies. Also on the international front, coming to us from South Africa, folks, pay attention to this. Many people call South Africa a second world or a first world country. Okay, now all these people keep saying, okay, in the media particularly, but also, you know, among socialists, oh, don't worry about Venezuela. Don't worry. And they didn't do their socialism right down there. It'll never happen. Or even before that, it'll never happen in an oil-rich country that their currency will collapse, right? But it's happened. Okay, now, there's a bunch of people out there in the media and among the socialist circles that have claimed in the past that gun confiscation will never happen. It's just a fear tactic. A fear tactic of the right. Okay? Coming to us from gunpowdermagazine.com, Jose Nino. South Africa calls for 300,000 gun owners to turn over their weapons. Okay? In a first world, arguably, country, direct gun confiscation. Okay? Now, they're saying it's because of these permit requirements and the number of days that have to be there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gun owners who fail to renew their firearms license must hand in their firearms. Okay, that is gun confiscation, because the government is taking the guns because you don't have the right paperwork. Okay, happening in a first world country, they said it would never happen, and here it is. It's happening right now. Everybody needs to pay attention to what's happening in South Africa and the burning out of farmers that is occurring down there as well. The New American Magazine has a great article, actually several great articles, on who Nelson Mandela really was and what happened down in South Africa when the communists took over, and they were communists, ANC. Okay, so check it out and educate your friends and family on it. All right, U.S. relations with Turkey, especially on religious liberty, continue to sour. A lot else going on, but I want to highlight this. This is breaking news coming to us from Debka File. Iraq Shiite militia heavily bombed on Syrian-Iraqi highway. So what you're seeing is kind of the first, what appears to be salvos against Iran. And it looks like, as I'm reading this really fast, that John Bolton had discussed with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a possible joint military operation against those same forces. So more is going to be coming in there, but this looks like kind of a first opening salvo, at least on the Shiite militias that are controlled by Iran in Syria. Also, on the national front, again, I mentioned this briefly. You know, we have all this garbage Russian collusion thing, right? And then there's a Chinese mole actually in Dianne Feinstein's office, and that doesn't seem to be a big deal. Unbelievable. Talked also on the national front about Alex Jones and InfoWars and this idea that censorship is now okay because you disagree with somebody. You know, it used to be everybody had a right to their opinion and a right to express it. And even if it was an offensive opinion, and we would fight and die for that right, even though we disagreed with them. And now we're needing to look for alternative ways to keep the message out there on the internet. If you're an activist and you want to take part in local activists, okay, it's similar to Facebook, but it's not going to be used for the Facebooky things of like, here's a video of my cat, or hey, look how cute my dog is, or here is my new bathing suit on vacation. This is activist, and it is coordination between Christian constitutional conservatives across the country. So if you're interested in local activists, message me on Facebook, and we're finishing up the beta testing as part of this. Also on the national front, revocation of Brennan's security clearance and others now are in the crosshairs. And finally, good. I mean, the fact that these guys kept them after their service is just kind of interesting to me, because lower levels don't do that. And the whole reason is because those are access points for possible leaks of classified information. Now, it's interesting, under the Obama administration, they went top to bottom trying to clean up people that shouldn't have had security clearances, but did. But now that Trump's revoking Brennan's, you know, rightfully so, you know, suddenly that's somehow different. Talk also about the Molly Tibbetts case. I actually want to talk with our guest about that one today, but just horrible man in the United States illegally. Some people trying to say, oh, it's not that important. I think it's proving exactly the point that we need to, if we're going to be a nation of laws, enforce those laws. West Virginia Supreme Court, the whole Supreme Court gone, most impeached. So it can happen, and Supreme Courts can be held accountable. In this case, alleged widespread corruption. Also on the national front, Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization. Yeah, I think it should be labeled a terrorist organization here in the United States of America, especially after the very admittedly loose ties, but it looks like further investigation is drawing it closer to this compound in New Mexico where kids were being trained to shoot up schools. And you got this sermon up in Canada calling for a law to remove and kill people one by one. Criticism, according to CNN, of Islam is domestic terrorism. Now, it's interesting how they conflate this. You'll notice I always talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, and I talk about radical jihadi terror. Okay, but they always try to conflate the two. To the point now, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch and also the Horowitz Foundation having their fundraising tools removed by MasterCard. So another form of censorship. And I want everybody out there to listen, and I hope there's somebody out there as an entrepreneur. Eventually, Christians and conservatives are going to need to look at internal economies to replace these things when they start censoring us to that level. Okay? Now, to a large extent, we have great banks locally here in the Spokane area, Horizon Credit Union and others. But we need to start looking at, hey, if they censor us here, how can we have an alternative there? When you start thinking about it and getting that stuff up and running now. Also on the national front, Antifa violence threatening to kill the president. Apparently, CNN doesn't want to talk about that. And not seeing much about that in the local media either. Also, Antifa attacking a military recruiting station. This is predictable stuff. In Iraq, one of the big signs, actually, of low-intensity conflict was whether military stations and police stations were being attacked, something we actually looked for as signs of low-intensity conflict. And so using these standards, and I've talked to several people that have military backgrounds, a couple of special forces backgrounds, you know, are we reaching the point of a low-intensity conflict here in the United States of America? And Sam Culper, actually, with Forward Observer, you can go to Forward Observer and check out some of his articles, agrees with that assessment, that there are all the signs of a low-intensity conflict happening here in the United States of America. And, you know, I hate to have to say that, but using, again, objective military standards of observation and hallmarks, we're starting to really see this. That's why that kind of thing is important to not only track, but tell all of you about. Also on the national front, a brave new world, this lab-grown meat, and then 5G as well. You know, looking at how we can opt entire cities and counties out of 5G, there are a lot of concerns being raised about this. Now, you know, we've talked before about the Internet of Things. It's where everything is interconnected via the Internet. Refrigerator, how much is left in your milk jug, your health records, all this stuff is interconnected. And 5G is really what is going to be the backbone for that. Also, you know, going to this lab-grown meat, we need to start having a serious conversation about incentivizing people to label things properly. You know, I know our cattlemen are all for making sure there's labeling for country of origin, so you know whether you're eating Brazilian meat or U.S. beef. And I think we need to visit that. Now, I am a free market guy, so incentivizing, I think, is the way to go there. And I think that some of these people are trying to do the right thing now. And I hope that the market can actually make it so that this occurs. And I just have talked to too many people. I mean, it's just getting... People want to know what they're eating. They just want to know what they're putting in their bodies, generally. And I think this is a discussion we need to have. Also on the regional front, the Bundys sue for $60 million. Larry Klayman coming out with that. The civil case by Jeanette Finicum continues as well. And as more facts come out there, I'll let you know. But you know, obviously, there's justice that needs to be done. No ATF inspection in Las Vegas of the firearms involved in the shooting down there raises some serious questions. What does an ATF inspection mean? That means that it would be inspected to see whether the components of an automatic weapon were present. Now, an automatic rifle is a rifle that when you pull the trigger, it continues to fire, okay? And there's typically a sear mechanism, and there's some other things, too, that you can evaluate to see whether that's the case. So the bottom line is ATF wasn't able to inspect, so that's what we mean when we talk about that. On the local front, if you haven't heard the interview by Doug Taft of Marble, Washington, I just strongly urge you to do that. Slandered on Spokane Talks Radio the other day, by a vanquished political foe, John Smith, who is still bitter about that loss, came on and tried to smear Marble as white nationalist, despite the fact there are two black pastors that live on there, a widower who's of a Samoan, and also several members of a federally recognized tribe. Some of those people in Marble leadership, by the way, could have been very easy to find out, but they didn't do that. They just went ahead and smeared. So take a look at that video, audio interview. It is on Radio Free Readout. John Jacob Schmidt, a great friend of this show. And I think it's worth your listen, and I would share it with your friends and family. Also on the local front, the take a deep breath of poor forest management out there. Blaming it on climate change is irrelevant. What are we going to do to manage our forests better so these fires aren't so catastrophic? That's the question, and really to this day haven't heard a lot of answers. Lastly, on the local front, a taste of what's to come. Coming September 14th through 15th, the Clayton Fairgrounds north of Deer Park. And then this weekend, August 25th, Quality Inn Clarkston, down there in Asotin County. We're going to be doing a 51st State presentation. Really looking forward to the folks down there. And if you know anybody that lives down there, let them know that we're going to be doing that. Should answer, I think, pretty much all the questions that they have. I believe it's kicking off around 5 o'clock. So down there at the Quality Inn, Clarkston, I look forward to seeing everybody there. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And you can always go to VoteShea.com, and you can help keep us on the air, help keep us fighting the media, slander and bias. Help us do it. We have a great team that's come together, and really looking forward to getting the truth out. And I'm just happy, too, that we're on iTunes and Podbean, B-E-A-N, Bean. And you can listen whenever. And also, we're going to be transferring a lot of these shows from YouTube over to Reel.video. Reel.video, huge explosion over there on Reel.video of accounts. Really becoming, I think, the conservative replacement for YouTube. Well, my guest today is Michael Cutler, and I'm really excited to have him back on the show again. Michael Cutler's a retired senior special agent of the former INS, that was the Immigration and Naturalization Services. His career spanned more than 30 years. He served as an immigration inspector, also as an immigration adjudications officer, spent 26 years as an agent who rotated through all of the squads within the investigative branch, and he's also the host of the Michael Cutler Hour. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm great, Matt. Thank you for having me. Also, my own personal website, obviously my favorite, is Michael Cutler, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. So good to join you. You're fighting with the media. My goodness, I can't imagine why. You know, my degree was in communications, arts, and sciences. I started as an engineering major. Things don't always go as we planned, but two of my kids are engineers. But I call it my BA in BS. But I have to tell you, we're not getting journalism today, and it's not about political correctness. It's Orwellian. It's about
propaganda.
Yes, and if you look at George Orwell, the idea was that if you could alter the language, you could alter the thoughts, because we think with words. How's that an interesting concept? We've got to stop saying political correctness. That gives a pass to the liars and propagandists. And for the record, I'm not even a conservative on most issues. I'm a centrist. I'm a registered Democrat. I can't tell you the last time I voted for a Democrat, because they aren't Democrats. They're fascists. They're totalitarian. They're crazy. But these aren't left-right issues. These are right-wrong issues, and everything hangs in the balance.
Everything hangs in the balance. And that's, you know, what is very interesting to me today. We could, you know, back 10 years ago even, you could disagree with somebody and then go out to, you know, have dinner with them. Today,
right,
we're calling for their deplatforming and the shutdown of their fundraising.
Well, what they're really doing is looking to destroy the United States, and they're looking to impose the tactics we've seen in fascist governments of shutting down debate. And by the way, I wrote an article for frontpagemag.com, Front Page Magazine, about how China is increasing its influence in our schools. You have to wonder if Antifa isn't being funded or led or promoted or, you know, advised by China and other outside agitators. I'm a lot older than you are. During the Vietnam War, we had outside agitators come onto college campuses to stir the pot. And you saw the terrible situation at Kent State where several students were shot to death by National Guardsmen. This is a very dangerous era. And too many Americans aren't paying attention, aren't willing to get involved, want to let somebody else do the heavy lifting. You know, I always like to make the point, and I do know this is a republic, so some of the my conservative friends, and I do have conservative friends and liberal friends, and I do believe in this notion of open conversation. That's what's been lacking. But they really don't seem to understand that democracy is not a spectator sport. You can't sit out the dance and think that anything good will come of what's happening right now.
Completely agree with you. I'm very concerned that people aren't taking seriously enough the deplatforming of Alex Jones. You know, love Alex Jones or hate him. You know, they start doing that to one, then what's the excuse not to do it to somebody else? And then somebody else after that, and somebody else after that. And then eventually,
who's the arbiter of hate speech? That's the quick label, hate speech. You use the word alien, hate speech. Let me tell you, I was just on NRA TV a little bit earlier today. We were obviously talking about this horrific murder of Molly Tibbetts. Everyone on the left and the globalists, and we have them on both sides of the aisle, let's remember that Soros stands shoulder to shoulder with the Koch brothers or vice versa on the issue of open borders, amnesty, and so forth. We're getting hammered by both sides. That's why Trump is getting such heat. He's the only president, I would argue, that we've had since Eisenhower or JFK who believes in American sovereignty. The push towards globalism has been ongoing for decades. Both sides of the aisle equally guilty. And so you have a real problem in the United States when you can't speak the truth about immigration. And when you can't use the word alien to describe an alien, something's terribly wrong. That nonsense started with Jimmy Carter. So now everyone is declared an immigrant. So what it really does, and I was listening to the nonsense from the left, oh my God, they're going to use the murder again. They're going after the immigrants. No, I'm not going after the immigrants. I'm going after illegal aliens. The difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien is comparable to the difference between a house guest and a burglar. The guy that robs a bank isn't making an undocumented withdrawal. He's robbing the darn bank, okay? Don't tell me he's a customer making an undocumented withdrawal when he robs the bank. These are folks who shouldn't be here. And by refusing to make that honest distinction, guess whose reputation is being impugned the most? Lawful immigrants. People who come in the tradition that so many immigrants came previously. My mother, may she rest in peace, came legally ahead of the Holocaust. I'm Jewish, and I have to tell you, I was thrilled that that Nazi dirtbag was deported finally at age 95. It should have happened decades ago. It took President Trump to make it happen. But the idea that we're going to impugn the integrity of lawful immigrants by not making a distinction between their adherence to our laws and illegal aliens who make a mockery of our laws, and they don't enter undocumented. That's an Orwellian term. It doesn't exist in the vernacular. They enter without inspection. The thug who killed Molly entered without inspection, and then he committed another immigration crime when he assumed, apparently, someone else's identity so he could illegally work in the United States, but giving the impression that he was here legally to work. His lawyer, or liar, those two words sound so similar, said he was here legally. No, he wasn't. And the lawyer turns around and says, well, you know, he could have been under DACA. So I'm glad that he raised the issue of DACA, this Deferred Action Childhood Arrival. No one seems to realize this, and it's the lying media that are responsible. It was Obama and his lies that are responsible. So let me ask you a question, Matt. DACA, pretty controversial, shouldn't be. It's pretty clear cut. What's the age cutoff to participate in DACA?
There isn't one, is there?
Well, it's age 37.
Okay, well, practically then.
Right. Now, is that a child?
No.
So why is it that every newscast says it's about the young children? You know why? Because all they have to do is claim that they came prior to their 16th birthdays. This murder took place days ago. This guy's been in custody for several days. We're still not sure when he came here. Is it 4 years ago? Is it 7 years ago? We don't know what his real name is. We think his name is Christian, spelled sideways, by the way, if you looked at the spelling. We're not sure who this guy is or when he got here. Now, we've had detectives and agents looking at this guy for days. An adjudications officer, and as you noted in my bio, I spent a year as an adjudications officer. So, you know, when I speak about these issues, I didn't have a brain spasm last Thursday, so now I'm in front of the microphones running my mouth with an abundance of foolishness coming out. I did the job. The adjudications officer will not have days to adjudicate a case. They won't even have hours. They will be given minutes. And because the number of applications would be so great, there would be no interviews, no field investigations. They would essentially have to go by what is in the application. And the 9/11 Commission, to which I provided testimony, because as an INS agent, I investigated and arrested terrorists as well as transnational drug gang members, immigration fraud was the number one means of entering the United States and hiding in plain sight, embedding themselves, according to the 9/11 Commission. So we still don't know when this guy really came here. If he had applied for DACA and we hadn't known that he committed this murder, they would have had to take his word. He's 24. If he says, hey, I came in, you know, 10 years ago, the adjudicator would look at that and say, yep, that would make him 14. He's good to go. They would have approved him. That's the kind of nonsense that the journalists are pushing, that the politicians from the Republican as well as the Democratic Party are pushing. It's what the Chamber of Commerce is pushing. It's what George Soros is pushing. It's what the Koch brothers are pushing. They're trying to jam down our throat an amnesty program that would eclipse, by I don't know what factor, the disastrous Reagan amnesty. Everyone's saying 3.5 million. Well, the Reagan amnesty was supposed to involve 1 million. We wind up with well over 3.5 million. We could wind up with 25 million applications for DACA. The system would implode, and that's the goal for the anarchists who are now running around calling for the dismantling of ICE. How's that for a bleak and worrying picture, Matt?
Well, I think it's a very concerning picture. And Trump is trying to do as much as he possibly can to fight back against this. But, I mean, he even his own administration, there's a fight within it, as right. You well know, and have talked about on your show. I want to talk about the deflection of the media, you know, always talking about Russian collusion, but not really talking about the Chinese mole in Dianne Feinstein's office, and not really talking about the threat and the infiltration of Chinese agents into American institutions, including schools. If you could, tell the listeners what is going on there.
It is massive. It is worrying. If you go to frontpagemagazine.com, I just wrote an article. By the way, if you like what you see on my website, the articles, please forward it to as many people as possible. I write for The Social Contract as well as for Front Page Magazine. By the way, just so you know, the fall edition is being put together. I gave them the idea for the theme of the entire publication. I got the lead story. It's about sanctuary country. Forget about sanctuary cities. We have so few ICE agents for the entire country. This is by design, that basically we already have a sanctuary throughout the United States. And that's why, forget the 11 million, we probably have 35 million illegal aliens. How in the world do you defend the country with so many foreign nationals and no way of knowing who they are, why they're here, what their goals are, or who their affiliations are? It's a very disturbing prospect. But I wrote this article. It was just published a couple days ago on August 21st for Front Page Magazine. China ratchets up its U.S. spying programs. My editor put in American universities and financial institutions are at risk. Actually, America's national security and sovereignty and the privacy and lives of everyone in the United States are at risk. There's something known as the Confucius Schools. What China does through that arm is to fund educational institutions across the United States. And in exchange for money, let's say a grant of $100,000, they then get the right to vet teachers and go over the curriculum to find out what's being taught in the schools. Think how worrying that is. This isn't a gift. there is a very big, fat, bulletproof string that's attached to the money. You take the money, and now we are going to get our nose under your tent and tell you what you're going to teach, how you're going to teach it, and who's going to be doing the teaching. Is that how America was founded? Does this sound like democracy? And let's not lose sight of something. China, number one, not our ally. Number two, not a democracy. It's a totalitarian communist country. Their human rights track record, I've given them a new nickname. I call them North Korea Light. Okay? Conditions were so abysmal in their factories that the workers were jumping out the windows because they were living in the factories. They are living in the factories with their wives and children. These aren't factories. They're basically prisons. And the compassionate Chinese government, when people were diving out the windows trying to end it all, they couldn't take it anymore. Guess what the Chinese government did? They didn't say, how do we make your lives better? How do we address your concerns the way we would in America? They hung up nets to catch the falling bodies. Now, of course, if they were really creative, maybe they should put up trampolines so the poor characters could bounce back to their desks after they jump, you see. But this isn't a laughing matter. They hung up nets to catch falling bodies because people were intentionally throwing themselves to their deaths. And we build our factories in China. They have no respect for intellectual property rights. They are stealing our technology. Last year, we admitted 152,000 Chinese students into the United States to study the STEM curriculum, other students studying other things. But 152,000 STEM students, science, technology, engineering, math, they hack our computers every second of every hour of every day of every week, okay? And what do? Educate their programmers so they're more proficient at hacking, apparently. We educate their engineers, and what do? They get to work for American companies to get practical training. What companies do they gravitate towards? This is a shocker. Companies that get military contracts. Why? Because for 2 or 2.5 years, however long they're allowed, they're able to commit espionage by working within the companies. And they send all that information back to China. China's building up its military. They're on the path to being second to nobody. They're building a fleet of nuclear attack submarines. Who are they planning to go to war with? Maybe us.
Well, they've said that.
I mean, this is so clear. So why in the world are you educating and equipping your enemy? Can someone explain that to me? Because I'm at a loss to understand what rational thought process. You know, the communists used to say the capitalists will sell you the rope with which you will hang them. We are having a fire sale on rope, and our number one customer is the communist country of China. By the way, do you know they've gone into Latin America? They've convinced, I believe it's El Salvador and a couple of other countries, to sever all diplomatic ties with Taiwan.
I have heard about that. I have heard about that. And also this, you know, this is one of the reasons I appreciate what Donald Trump is doing with tariffs with China. He's actually trying to cut some of this off.
He is. And look at the problem. Look at Venezuela. Look at the arguments about a border wall. Look, I want everyone out there not to misunderstand what I'm about to say. A border wall by itself, and those last two words are critical, by itself, won't stop the problem of illegal immigration. We have 50 border states. This focus on Mexico is nonsense. I wrote an article a while back. I called it Border Security and the Immigration Colander. Each method of entry is a hole in the colander. If we really secure the Mexican border, we're only plugging one hole in the colander, but we must plug it. How many holes do you need in the bottom of your rowboat for it to wind up in the bottom of the lake? Our crooked politicians are telling you that if you find a hole in the bottom of the boat, the solution, and idiots are buying this, is to drill more holes to let the water out, okay? But how many fools are buying this nonsense? So we've got to plug the hole known as the Mexican border. And the wall, by the way, will be paid for by Mexico. They don't have a choice, and here's why. They don't have to send us a nickel. Last May, according to the latest study, $3 billion was wired from the United States to Mexico by their workers in the United States. That's visible money. What I mean by visible is if you go to Western Union or you go to a bank or you go to the post office and you send a money order or you send a wire transfer, we all know about that money. It's visible. You filled out the form. You're accountable. Lots of money goes invisibly and opaquely. How? Well, they put furniture, they take furniture, they rip it apart, the drug dealers, the criminal organizations, they stuff couches and chairs. Instead of stuffing, they put money in it. They do the same thing with appliances. In some cases, they convert the money to precious metal or to diamonds. It's much more portable. It's hard to move $1 million in greenbacks. It's easy to move $1 million in gold. So they convert the money to gold, and that's invisible. We don't even know what the quantity is. But the visible money that went from Mexico to the United States amounted to more than $3 billion in 1 month. Let's say half of it was ill-gotten. Isn't it remarkable that in the United States, when someone gets money by committing a crime, selling drugs, money laundering, racketeering, we seize their assets. I've been there. We've done it. We take cars, bank books, houses, jewelry. We basically grab the people by the ankle when they're criminals. We shake them till their pockets are empty, and then we go after their belly button lint. Meanwhile, illegal aliens are earning money they shouldn't be earning, and they're free to send it out of the United States. That money is flowing into Mexico. If you put up a wall, it would stop a good chunk of the illegal money going across the border. So over a period of just a couple of years, if that long, the wall will pay for itself, and I compared it to insulation in your house. During the cold winter nights here in New York City, we spend a lot of money on heating our homes. We have put up insulation to stop the hot air that we paid to heat up from escaping through the cracks, okay? So over time, insulation pays for itself. Over time, the wall pays for itself. The reason people are opposing the construction of the wall is because the immigration system, and this may shock you and your audience, Matt, but the immigration system really is not broken. I know everyone says it's broken. I'm here to tell you tonight, the immigration system is actually one of the most efficient agencies within the U.S. government if you're on the side of the globalists, because they see immigration not as law enforcement, but as a delivery system. What does it deliver? It delivers an unlimited supply of cheap, exploitable foreign labor. And for the record, there's no compassion in exploitation. It delivers an unlimited supply of foreign tourists, a virtually unlimited supply of foreign students. And here's the big one that no one even thinks about, a virtually unlimited supply of clients for immigration attorneys. And you have politicians in Congress, both sides of the aisle, who not only practice law, but our immigration lawyers. Bob Goodlatte is a classic example. He's about to leave Congress. If we create DACA, this is a guaranteed employment program for every immigration lawyer in America from coast to coast and border to border. Now, when you think of it from that perspective, tell me, Matt, is the immigration system broken, or is it humming right along like a Swiss watch?
Right now, legal immigration that I have experienced internal to my own family actually moves pretty smoothly.
Right. But think about the delivery system that we're talking about. Is there a shortage of illegal alien workers? Not really. Is there a shortage of high-tech workers who can come in with visas or one way or the other game the system? Nope. And, you know, by the way, Bob Goodlatte's bill, which fortunately failed to pass, would have increased the number of high-tech visas by 55,000 per year. Why? Because Bob Goodlatte's son, Bobby Goodlatte, is a major player in the computer industry. If you check him out, he got to start with Zuckerberg at Facebook. What do you think of that one? And Bob Goodlatte right now is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. How stunning is that?
It is stunning. And I think, too, when we talk about this issue of immigration, you know, there are these flashes, you know, the Tibbetts case and all of these flashes that tell us very clearly the enforcement side of it is a problem right now and that we have to solve. There's no question about it. But I think there's something more fundamental, that if we're going to be a nation of laws, if we're going to be a republic where 50.01% can't vote away the rights of the rest of the people, as in a democracy, that we need to enforce our laws just like virtually every other country is doing, and not take this tack that I'm seeing right now, especially in the court system, to find kind of hidden rights that really eviscerate national sovereignty. We can't do that.
No, you're right, but understand what's happened. And the problem that I have with Donald Trump is his misuse of language. You know, I love his policies, but boy, especially I was going to teach debate on the college level had I not wound up with the opportunity to be a federal agent, or I would have been a journalist. But his use of language leaves so much to be desired. What he called a travel ban, he used the words of his enemies. Goodness gracious, why? It's an entry restriction that it wasn't based on an executive order. It was based on standing law, whereby the president has sole authority, if he believes it's against the, if it's contrary to the interests of the United States, that he could ban the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens, whether as immigrants or non-immigrants, if he thinks it's detrimental to the interests. That's the standard, detrimental to the interests of the United States. So he didn't issue by caveat like DACA an executive order. He calls it an executive order. It's actually a proclamation because that's what the law requires. And that law goes back to the original Immigration Act that was passed in 1952. In fact, Jimmy Carter invoked it when our embassy was overrun in Tehran. Barack Obama invoked 1182, that section of law. So if the president would only have been better at making the case to the American people, and you have judges saying that it's unconstitutional for the president to stop DACA, how about Article 4, Section 4, that says that the states are to be guaranteed a republican form of government and are to be protected from invasion and domestic violence? How are we forgetting that important part of the Constitution? Don't you think that the presence of millions of people who snuck into the country or otherwise violated our sovereign borders constitutes an invasion? How else could you describe it? So what's the Constitution? What's stopping it?
Well, I think that that's what we're really getting to the heart of the matter talking about, and that is we have two completely divergent worldviews. You have a Judeo-Christian foundation and rule of law on one side, and then you have this new age garbage where everything is truth according to your own standard, and there is no law, and the primary thing that we want to achieve is social justice and political correctness, when in fact the social justice that they want to achieve is not both social nor just.
I couldn't agree with you more. And true Democrats, if you look at Barbara Jordan, the late congresswoman from Texas, black lady, her Jordan Commission on Immigration parallels everything that you and I believe in, Matt, and she was a liberal Democrat. My dad will always be my biggest hero, both of my parents. I unfortunately lost both of them to cancer when I was in college. My pop was a construction worker, a tradesman. And I got to tell you, I value tradesmen over the pencil neck geeks that do accounting every day of the week. I love when banks tell you about the products they offer. I didn't know three-card Monty was a product, you know. But tradesmen actually do something. And to my dad, the word impossible was a challenge. There was no job that was too dangerous, dirty, or backbreaking. It was a job, and he was happy to have it. He was a card-carrying member of the union. And I used to go with him to work when I was a kid, and I was so impressed by him and all of his hard-working buddies who barely took time out for a quick cigarette, and they busted their tail from sunrise to sunset, and they were happy to bring a paycheck home. How in the world do you talk about the work Americans won't do when you think about, to this day, the hardworking American blue-collar workers who are the heart, soul, and spine of America? If you're truly a Democrat, then you're supposed to stand with the American worker. How in the world are you standing with the American worker when you're knifing them in the back and flooding our country with exploitable labor? There's no justice there, and if you get one opportunity for a first impression, the first set of laws that folks from other countries generally tend to encounter are our immigration laws. We have now sent a clear message around the world that in America, violations of law are not only tolerated, but they are rewarded. You know, imagine if you got on the highway and you have a choice of paying a toll with cash or Easy Pass, and they open up a third lane that says free, no speed limit. What lane are you going to be in?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what everybody is going to choose. That's human nature. Well, sure. Michael, we've got about a minute left. If you could give some final thoughts to the young people and plug your website one more time.
Yes, please, please, please get involved. Don't be afraid to have debates. You know, I had my share of schoolyard fistfights growing up. I was scrawny, so my dad made sure I went to a gym and learned how to handle myself. And then debate, of course, is so important. But what's really important is that we all become practitioners of the First Amendment. Get our voices heard out there, folks. Have those discussions with your neighbors. That's what the First Amendment's about. That's how you celebrate America. My website is Michael Cutler, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I write for Front Page Magazine, and I write for The Social Contract. My own radio show is on Friday nights, 7 p.m. East Coast time, the Michael Cutler Hour on Blog Talk Radio. And, Matt, I want to wish you the best of luck taking on the media elite. They wouldn't know the truth if it jumped up and bit them on the nose or some other part of their anatomy.
And I couldn't agree with you more. Michael Cutler, the Michael Cutler Hour, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. You as well. We're in this together, brother.
We are. It's going to take all of us.
You bet.
If you haven't read his article, I'm posting it up on Facebook. Go check out his article on the Chinese infiltration into America, particularly into schools. Very eye-opening. And again, this is not from a hack. Okay, this is somebody that actually lived it with the INS, was an adjudicative officer, served in many other positions inside the agency, knows this issue inside and out. So go take a look at it. Again, I'm going to it should be up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page later this afternoon. It looks like maybe tomorrow morning, depending on the schedule. But go check it out. It'll be posted up there on Facebook. Also, I want to highlight something, too. We shouldn't be afraid to debate, but also as Christians, we got to be careful that we're not engaging in fruitless debate. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say that. You know, there are some people that cannot listen to rational debate. I was taught formal logic at Gonzaga University back when they still taught that. And you're not seeing a lot of formal logic anymore. You're seeing a lot of rhetoric or just emotion. And instead, we need to be very rational to start with, but to recognize that only, you know, some people can only be reached with rhetoric. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me today. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.